So more with Zach Klima here of Wait Time. One thing that he told me is that it's always in use. If an event or a team or someone's team doesn't want it to be used for a particular event or a game they're hosting, it really can't be turned off. It's always in use.
The operations people that we partner with within the venue, whether it be concessionaires or different strategic partners, they want all of our data, 25 hours a day, because it optimizes their efficiencies within their venue. So they're now able to monitor in real time different changes or different things or strategies that they have in place when it comes to concession or advertising or whatever, and we're able to then monitor the impact that it has. So basically, we've strung a heartstring in the industry when it comes to these strategic partners, because they've been trying to track the core of our business and what we're doing for the past 30 years and never found a way to do it.
Interestingly enough, the information isn't harnessed right at the source, right at your stadium arena. It's actually monitored at the servers at Wait Time, and they get the data and distribute it.
Yeah, our servers are located on site, correct, at each venue that we're with.
And while we're talking about stadiums and arenas, could this also be used shopping malls, convention centers, those type of venues as well? Properties?
Yeah, absolutely. Our software is it's indiscriminate, so we're able to monitor the same things and the same traffic patterns and movement patterns of all people in different environments. So it doesn't have to be just in the sports environment, but that's where we're at right now.
It's interesting. He also says the same data is supplied to everybody. So there's a dashboard, and everyone gets the same data. They can do with it what they want. Also, we talked about privacy issues in our piece and how this is such a hot button issue, privacy, and does it open up the venue and to exposure and that type of thing. And Zach answers back with that.
Hey, we really went to Wendler's Dance probably 1,000 times, where the way we're designing our software, it's all artificial intelligence. It's first to market artificial intelligence, where we're tracking all these people in real time, but they're not uniquely identified. So you're not a male, you're not a female, you're not wearing a red shirt, you're not wearing a blue shirt, you are a number. Mm-hmm. Which allows us to ride on the safe side of the privacy and things like that. They are just massively identified. They're not, you are Rick Limper, I'm not exactly a male or female, you are X or you are Y. So we took that into big consideration when it comes to tracking the movement of all people.
And then I ask him, they're staying away from the facial recognition, which is really a good thing. And even Zach agrees that facial recognition technology is a big thing, but maybe sports isn't ready for it yet.
We're nowhere in the sports industry, and they're seeing that now. But you know, the sports executives that we work with all kinds of organizations kind of laugh at that buzzword that's trying to make its way into the sports industry. So the way we design our software, our intelligence is to stay away from that. It's only too specific,
right,
to your point.
But facial recognition technology is out there in some industries, you have to admit.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly right, but the reason why it hasn't gained a lot of momentum in the sports industry is because of the privacy factor, the big brother factor. People don't want to get too specific.
And the cost.
And the cost, too. It's way too cost prohibitive. As you know, the sports industry, it looks like amazing stuff, but when it comes to, they're going to not spend that much money.
And I asked Zach about Wait Time in real time. Is the information so quick? Does it get there so quick that decisions can be made, maybe to open up another concession stand or wheel another beer cart over, or maybe if there's a problem, maybe a flood in a bathroom, and in those type of situations?
Yeah, that's a good question. question. Absent an answer, absolutely. So we have threshold triggering built into our software. So there's threshold values that are set for different key metrics, whether it's line count or line attrition or things of that sort. So they set these values, and if it hits the value that they set for thresholding, their operational staff is then alerted in real time via text or email to make a real time on the fly change. Whether it be opening up another point of sale, relocating a portable concession stand or a beer cart, things of that sort. For example, if there's a very long, you hit the threshold for a woman's restroom line, alerted in real time, and then, for example, they would relocate a couple margarita stands for the woman in line. Because that, things of that sort where they can make informed on the fly changes.
Another question I wanted to ask Zach was, or Zach Klima here from Wait Time. How many people on site does it take to make the Wait Time platform work?
Zero. So everything is automated. Everything is software based. Everything is absolutely automated. Doesn't take anyone to do anything. And our servers are the ones doing the work, and they're the ones that are proactively alerting the operational staff if those thresholds are hit in the arena. So constantly throughout the game, the dashboards that the Pistons have in place or fill in the name of the team have in place, those are being populated in real time, in which they can look at it in real time if they want to, but they can then look at it historically. So for example, if they make a change for a concession stand on advertising campaign, in a certain part of the arena for a game, they can then look back the next day and see what that impact was in measurable dollars and cents.
Wow, interesting stuff this week from Zach Klima and what he's doing, what the team's doing there at Wait Time. This just shows you how the sports and entertainment industry with venues, when it comes to venues, arenas, and such, is changing so quickly. This is something that's there to benefit the customers and provide real-time information and data to other strategic partners and maybe advertisers and anything else that hopefully will enhance the game day experience at your next big sporting event you attend. So that was Zach Klima this week. Great guest, the founder of Wait Time here on the Tech of Sports. Just want to let you know that Amazon.com is a partner here at the network. Go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon and do all your shopping this holiday season. It's an affiliate link. Helps us out here at the studio. modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon. And that's been the Tech of Sports this week. Modern Life Podcast Network is our host network. You can go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com, check out all the shows that are available, as well as Two Thumbs Up Media, twothumbsupmedia.com, a podcast and internet broadcast directory where you can discover a lot of new content, podcasts, etc. So great having Zach on this week. We will speak to you next week. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.